I won't talk about the aliens. I won't talk about the chainsaw wielding evil lumberjacks.
Or the zombies.
Or zombies or swamp creatures or any of the other stuff that's in the game. Sorry, guys.
Welcome to Rated NA, the podcast for the website nerdappropriate.com. This is episode number 226, and I am your host, Matt.
And I am Scott.
And I am Ash.
And we've got another special guest today. We are full of interviews lately.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's good times. Sissy Jones is here, and she, of course, recently was in Firewatch, which I fell in love with, and she's been in stuff like Walking Dead, and she's going to be in Drift soon.
A large resume of voice acting talents, which is awesome. And she's been in a lot. She had a character in Wolf Among Us as well. So she did a bunch of stuff with Telltale.
Yes, she's a big Telltale alum. Yeah, I didn't really get into it too much during the interview, but I had like the biggest crush on her character, Delilah.
I think you kind of got into it.
Did I get into it?
Yeah. No, that's pretty clear. Yeah. You made that
I basically betrayed my sick wife to like try and form a relationship with her character,
all gathered that.
Yeah,
you made that abundantly clear. So don't.
Well,
worry
you
about
know,
that.
sometimes you got to do what you got to do, guys. You just.
I think you also missed a really great opportunity to say hot off her performance in Firewatch.
Oh, I did.
Yeah.
Damn it, Scott.
Yeah.
That's like sunglass scream worthy. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
no, I got you. Yeah.
Well, that's why I sit behind the glass is to think of things like this. You know,
oh, I thought that was a cage you were in.
Yeah. I really like the visual of Scott sitting by himself at his house with like a glass box around him.
Don't ruin the illusion for me, okay?
No, but this is a great interview. We actually just finished it up. It's a lot of fun, you know, especially if you're into voice acting. She gives some great advice. She talks about how she got started. And it's super. It's great to see, you know, people, you know, heading down a new career path that they're really, really excited about.
I think, actually, we'll talk about it. I'm not even going to say listen to the interview, and then we'll talk about the part I was going to talk about.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Who brought us the show this week, Matt?
The show this week. It's brought to you by Loot Crate.
No way.
Our good buddies at Loot Crate supporting us for a while now, and we appreciate that. So Loot Crate is the monthly subscription service that sends you a box full of nerdy goodness, a bunch of looty items you can have in that box, including t-shirts, pins, and whatever the theme may be. Last month is just now wrapping up, which was Versus, and those boxes are going out, I think, in the next, probably the day that this podcast comes out, those boxes will be getting mailed out to you. So we'll be waiting to see what's next. So sign up now at lootcrate.com/ratedNA with the code ratedNA and get a discount on your subscription and help out the podcast at the same time. We really appreciate it. It is super helpful, and you guys get stuff for it. So go do it. Go to lootcrate.com/ratedNA and sign up.
Excellent.
Absolutely.
How about we head over to the interview now? What do you say?
Sounds like a deal. All right, we are here with a very special guest. This is going to be episode 226 of the Rated NA podcast, and we're here with Sissy Jones.
Yay!
How you doing?
What's up?
Hey. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you guys?
We're great. We actually just hung out for a little bit before the show started, and you're a little bit under the weather, but you're feeling a tiny bit better, huh?
Yes, if I just burst out into tears, don't judge me. I managed to bruise my ribs from coughing for the last 7 weeks. So.
That's the absolute worst. That is the absolute worst. It's,
but at least I can talk now without, you know, devolving into coughing fits, which for my job is really handy.
Yes. I mean, you have an awesome job, and this is actually kind of how we got in touch with you. I had just finished Firewatch, and I ended up finding out, you know, your name, and I sent you a tweet, and I was like, holy cow. Your performance in Firewatch was brilliant, and it really was. It was one of those performances where when I was finished with a game, I was like, holy shit, like that was just unbelievable. Like it, you know, it actually made me feel things, which is cool. Yeah, I know. It was really hard for me, but But yeah, I mean, and you did such a great job in that game. And then I, of course, you know, dug up some info on you, and you've been in all sorts of incredible titles, you know, Walking Dead, Life is Strange, all sorts of other stuff. And it's just really cool to see such, and your performances are all very different too. Yeah, it's really, really cool. So what sort of prompted you to get into voice acting in the first place? I read a tidbit someplace that said that you kind of gave up on your day job or gave up on your past life and started something new. So tell us a little bit about that.
So I used to live in the Bay Area in San Francisco, working in the Silicon Valley, and I felt like Ed Norton in the beginning of Fight Club. You know, like, I am Jack's dilapidated brain. And I hated it. I was so miserable. I always wanted to be a voice on a cartoon, but I never knew how to do that. I grew up in Boise, Idaho, and, you know, it's not like it's not like there are a ton of opportunities in Boise, Idaho. So I just always assumed you had to be in Hollywood. But one morning I was getting ready for work, begrudgingly, and I heard Nancy Cartwright on the radio, who's the voice of Bart Simpson, and she was promoting The Simpsons movie, which had just come out at the time. And she was like, you know, you guys in the Bay Area, you are so lucky. You have one of the best voiceover schools in the country right here. And I was like, ring-a-ling-a-ling, hello. I called that day. I started taking classes that week. 2 years later, I quit my job, and my husband and I moved to Los Angeles, and here we are.
Wow. That is amazing. Wow. So I know nothing about this school. Obviously, we are big fans of voice acting in games and really feel like they, especially in the past, you know, 10 years have really changed the way that games are being made and the way that games are being played. And Firewatch is a great example of that. I mean, the two main performances, yours being one of them, are so spectacular that the game literally would not be the same game had those been poor performances. So was your schooling like at this school in San Francisco? And what's the name of the school? Because I want to go.
And there actually are people that go from all over the country. It's called Voice Tracks with an X.
Okay.
And basically what she's done is she's set up a really great curriculum, you know, so it runs the gamut of all facets of voiceover. So there's intro classes, which is basically learning to act. Like, I never took acting classes. I never did stage. I never did theater. So it was really learning all of that from the ground up. So it's acting classes, improv classes, but then she really breaks it out into different niches, you know, so there's video game mastery classes and animation classes and commercial classes and promo trailer classes, narration, IVR even, which is the phone tree system. You know, thank you for calling.
Oh, my gosh. There's a school for that. I had no idea.
People get paid good money to do that shit, guys.
Oh, my gosh.
That is amazing.
And it is the audio equivalent of digging ditches. But
yeah.
But so you just kind of, for me, it was learning what I was good at. What I wanted to really hone in on and who I wanted to meet, because some of the people that taught the classes, I mean, that's how I met my agent. That's how I met a lot of the casting directors that I work with now on a regular basis, was by taking their class and, you know, being present.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Oh, sorry. I was going to ask, don't presume to know how old you were when you made the switch from one job to the other, but did you ever feel like in the beginning you had to kind of justify the transition period? Do you know what I mean? Like, did that happen a lot? Did you ever feel like you were in auditions going like, yes, I know I don't have a lot of experience yet, but I, you know, was doing this before that or anything like that? Or
no, it was more justifying it to myself. I was 30 when I made the transition, which is a scary time to make a big career jump like that. Like, mm-hmm. I had gone to school, I graduated from college, I have 2 degrees, and I'm an actor?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
You know, I have degrees in business and Spanish, so it's not like it's like, oh, of course you're an actor.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was really scary. Luckily, you know, my husband is amazing and incredibly supportive, and so that gave me a huge boost of confidence, and I met some really remarkable people that that really helped the transition a lot. And that's one thing, if you guys have talked to a lot of voice actors, and if you do continue to talk to a lot of voice actors, they're the coolest. Can I swear on this show?
Yeah,
sorry.
I forgot to tell you that.
They're the coolest fucking people. It's the greatest group of people on the planet. Everybody is so supportive and so encouraging. And if I'm not going to book a job, God, it makes me so happy when my friends book it, which you don't see in a lot of other, particularly acting fields.
Right.
So, yeah, I had to justify it to myself. And my mom was like, I'm sorry, you're doing what now? but once I got an agent in San Francisco, and like 2 months later, I got signed in Los Angeles. The Walking Dead was the first job I booked. And it was like, okay, I think I've made a good choice.
Wow. Yeah. That's unbelievable. So we actually have to talk about Walking Dead a bit because you have voiced more characters in that than I think anybody else is what I've been reading about you. So you did Katja, and you did like 10 other characters, which is unbelievable. How did you end up getting hooked up with Telltale? They're based in the San Francisco area as well, aren't they?
They are. Yeah. Okay. I got the auditions through my San Francisco agent, Stars, and I just got the auditions and I did them. I auditioned for every female role in season one, including, you know, Clementine and Lily and Harley. So when they send out an audition like this, a lot of times the agents just kind of send them out to everybody in San Francisco. And so, you know, I read for all of them and I knew my Clementine sucked. So I was really happy that Melissa Hutchison booked that because she's amazing.
She's great. I spoke with her a long time ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's so rad.
Hearing her bust into that Clementine voice is crazy and scary.
Because she sounds like me. Like just talking, she has like a regular, like, kind of a deep voice like me. And then she goes into Clementine and I'm like, Jesus Christ, you're amazing.
Wow. Where does it come from? Right, yeah.
I think at one point when we were speaking to her, we somehow got on the topic of pizza. And so she did Clementine ordering a pizza, I think is what happened back then.
Yeah, that did happen. It was very surreal.
Super bizarre.
Yeah.
So I did the auditions. My first Katja was fucking terrible. And I had a callback because Sean Vanneman, who wrote Firewatch, wrote season one of The Walking Dead as well.
Oh.
But he heard something in my voice that he liked. And so he, you know, sent it back with the note of, we're a little concerned about the accent. So I had a Belgian friend and I followed him around with a tape recorder for way too long and probably got on creeper status. But I just really started mimicking his speech patterns. And then I redid the audition, sent it in and booked it. And it changed my life.
Yeah. I mean, your IMDb shows that you have a lot of stuff coming up and, you know, we absolutely have to talk about Firewatch here in a couple of minutes, but I mean, your stuff in The Walking Dead is that whole cast was so great. And I think, Telltale of course is changing the way games are being played because they are taking a lot of time finding the right voice cast and, you know, building these great stories with these great characters. Have you gotten a chance to do any conventions or anything like that or go around and talk to fans yet?
Not a ton. I did Animation on Display a couple of years ago with the crew from The Walking Dead.
And nice.
That's one thing I really want to say, and you know, I've said in other interviews as well, is that most often when you're recording for a video game, it's done in a vacuum. You're by yourself, you know, you might meet the director, maybe. But you hardly ever meet the other cast members. And if you do, it's like, oh, hey, we were both in that same game. Rad.
Yeah.
But with The Walking Dead, it was so intense and it was such... I mean, we all just knew when we were recording separately that it was lightning in a bottle, you know? And we all met up afterwards at this bar in Oakland. And we're all friends. I mean, to this day, Melly Hutch and Owen Thomas and Gavin Hammond and Nick Vigil and Nikki Rapp. I mean, these are people I talk to regularly because we all worked on The Walking Dead together and became friends.
Oh, that's awesome.
That does not happen.
Yeah, you know? I love hearing stories like that, though. You know, it's great.
Yeah. So I know a lot of those guys do a ton of the cons. I've got a family, so it's really hard to do that much travel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But hey, if someone wants to have me on a panel at Comic-Con, I'll be there.
I know there was that live reading they did of Walking Dead, I think at Comic-Con, I want to say last year. Oh, well, congratulations. Congratulations.
That I was like, I'm not going to go sleep on someone's hotel room.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I didn't actually get a chance to make it to that panel anyway, but I was like, oh, that'd be so cool to see that. But yeah. Very cool. Well, let's jump over to Firewatch a little bit and we are going to spoil it a little bit. I'm not going to spoil too much, but there are some things that I absolutely just have to ask you about.
Don't talk about the aliens.
I won't talk about the aliens. I won't talk about the chainsaw-wielding evil lumberjacks.
Or the zombies.
Or zombies or swamp creatures or any of the other stuff that's in the game. Sorry, guys. But I absolutely fell in love with this game. And, you know, it was funny because it came out I waited a little while to play it. It kind of, the hype went insane for it. After about a week or two, I couldn't hold back anymore. And I waited, I got a new video card. I'm like, I'm just going to play the hell out of this game. So I played it on PC. And, you know, your character of Delilah is like, I had the biggest crush on, and I felt so guilty about it.
I've heard that from so many people. Uh-oh. Like some kid in New York wrote me this Facebook message about what a bitch I am. Me, Sissy Jones. And I was like, no, it's a character, right? Like, somebody wrote the words and I said them like a dancing monkey, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay, so for our listeners that haven't heard anything about Firewatch, how would you describe the game, perhaps without spoiling it? Then we'll put a big spoiler warning up when we get into real spoiler territory.
I would describe the game like a video game version of Before Sunrise.
Okay. Yeah. No, it is. Yeah.
The player is Henry, who is a man in his, you know, he's a middle-aged pudge man.
Pudge man?
he's going through some stuff.
Yeah, he is a little round, which is fine.
He's got Wreck-It Ralph hands. but he's going through some personal stuff, so he decides to take a leave of absence, if you will, and go away for the summer into the Wyoming wilderness in 1988. And become a Firewatch lookout. And his only point of contact throughout the entire game is his supervisor, Delilah, who is me, hello, via walkie-talkie. And there is a mystery that unfolds, but I would say the gameplay is more about crafting a relationship and how you choose to do that.
Right.
I've had a lot of people be like, oh, I beat the game in 2 hours. And I'm like, then you missed the entire point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you didn't play the game.
It's not about that, absolutely. Yeah, I took my time. It took me about 4 hours. I kept getting lost in the woods. And I'm like, I think I'm doing this the right way. I'm lost in the woods.
Yeah, you are.
About. Yeah.
Because you explore and like you find these little treasure troves of conversation bits. Like, I don't know if you saw the Raccoon Carter bit, but like a lot of people miss that.
No,
and
I haven't seen that. See, damn
yeah,
it.
So there's a ton of stuff in there. And I mean, I remember recording some of the lines and Sean was like, there are probably 2% of players will actually hear this, but I want to hear it. And I was like, great, you know.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
So there's a ton of stuff in there.
Well, I'm going to, okay, so Scott, when we throw this together, this is the part where we're going to get into spoilers, so. Okay. We'll do our little spoiler sound effect.
Spoiler noise.
So I realized from playing this game that I'm a terrible human being. so I'm married in real life. The character in the game of Henry is also married. His wife, right in her late 30s, starts to suffer from dementia, and it really hurts their marriage a whole lot. And he doesn't know how to take care of her. I wouldn't go as far as saying that he neglects her, but it really kind of pushes the relationship. Yeah, he's overwhelmed. He doesn't know what to do. He's not a good caregiver. And she ends up moving back home to Australia with her parents so her parents can take care of her. And he kind of snaps and goes off to live in the middle of nowhere, Wyoming. And basically, he's using this job as an escape. And that's all from that's from the intro to the game.
I love the way that they did the intro. It's so good.
Wasn't it brutal?
Oh, yes. Man.
It gets you so invested right from the get-go.
It's brutal too. Like it's you get some rough, you're like, oh, I don't. And then I started thinking, cause we're all married, but I was thinking like, what, like how would I dealt with, Alzheimer's in my family for older, like my grandparents and stuff. And I've seen it and I've watched it happen, and it was very real feeling, even reading the little snippets about what he was doing and how he had to deal with her and like how he kind of was trying to cope with it himself. And man, it was rough. I was like, this is very hard to get through right now.
You're like, this is supposed to be entertainment.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was very, you know, when we reviewed the game on the show a couple episodes back, and I was telling the guys, I was like, you know, it's a very adult game. Like, it's the first game that, you know, a lot of games tackle adult themes, but this game, like, I was like, oh, I'm just playing like a normal middle-aged guy that has like normal middle-aged guy problems.
Yeah.
And it was really interesting to me. It was like a very, you know, and his experience, like what he was going through, was like just incredibly realistic. So here, back to me being an asshole. Oh yeah, he was incredible.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah. So as the story progresses, Henry grows closer and closer to Delilah. And you kind of get to this point in the game where you're like, well, I'm kind of developing this relationship with this Delilah character. And I started to have kind of feelings. I'm like, I want to meet her. I'm like, I want to know what she's like. And and I'm so like running through the forest. Like, you know, there's great banter back and forth between the characters. Like, you, you deliver great comedy with her character as well. Like, she's just so believable and so three dimensional. And that's really what I loved about the performance. It just felt like we were talking on a walkie talkie, you know?
And I, again, I will credit Sean Bannerman, who wrote it, who also had the ingenious idea, which I'm sure you guys have read, of having Rich and I record simultaneously. So
I was going to ask, I hadn't read that. Yeah.
Yeah. So we both have home studios. Well, I have one. Rich set one up because he's mostly an on-camera guy. But he went out and set up a home studio, and we would Skype together like we're doing right now. And this is how we would record.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Wow. That is.
And the other thing I think, which is kind of fascinating, is that Rich and I live about a mile apart from each other in Los Angeles. And we kind of made the conscious decision when we started recording to not meet.
Oh.
So, okay. And we recorded chronologically. So that first morning, or that first night when Henry gets to the tower and it's like, so what's wrong with you? You know, and it's kind of that awkward, like,
yeah.
Huh? That, I mean, that was us getting to know each other.
Wow. That is so incredibly perfect, cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've since met like twice, but, you know, we haven't like hung out or anything.
Yeah. I mean, the relationship, you know, in Firewatch is just so, it's so cool because it is this gradual progression, and the conversations between the two characters are so real. Like, yeah. You know, he's so, you can tell the character of Henry is so damaged. And you can tell Delilah has a lot of baggage, and she's very damaged as well. And as, you know, the story progresses, they reveal more and more about each other. And I'll tell you this, at the end of the game,
so we're just going to jump super spoiler.
At the end of the game, I won't reveal what happens, but at the end of the game, I'm literally running through areas on fire, trying to meet your character, like to the point where like, I just need to see her.
I know. And that was one of the hardest things to record.
Oh my gosh. It was so good. It was so good. And the way that it pays off in the end, it's just brilliant. And it kind of leaves you wanting more. You want to see what happens, you know, next.
Firewatch 2, Firewatchier.
Yeah. Well, no, you know what I was thinking? And this is, I cannot be the only person that ever thought this. If I am, well, then I'm patting myself on the back, but I would love to see DLC or something, just from Delilah's perspective. The whole game from Delilah's perspective, I think.
Oh my god, that would be so much fun. Sean, if you're listening, do this now.
Yes, wouldn't that be just great? You, I mean, you can even recycle some of the audio. I mean, you know, or re-record it, or I don't know how you would go about doing it, but it would be so cool just to see it from the other tower, you know?
Yeah.
I just think it would be great.
Although she doesn't really leave her tower, so there wouldn't be much to see. I mean, she has her stuff delivered to her. She kind of just sends Hank on all the errands. So it'd be like, oh, look, here I am again in my tower doing crosswords.
Yeah.
I kind of have this idea of like an epilogue of like in my head, you know, Hank gets on the helicopter and flies away to safety. And then he goes to be with his wife and, you know, things, nature takes its course and she, you know, passes away. And then he comes back to Boulder, totally broken and not knowing what to do with himself. And he goes into his favorite bar and he hears a very familiar voice offering him a drink. And that's like, that's kind of what I see, is like Delilah becomes the bartender and like kind of waits for him to show up.
That's awesome. That's awesome headcanon. Yeah. It should end that way, damn it. So we'll see. Maybe it will.
Like I said, Before Sunrise, it's a trilogy, guys. So,
oh,
you know.
My gosh. That'd be so great. Everything just starts catching on fire in this trilogy. Like, you know, Boulder on fire is episode 2. They're just running around Boulder trying to stop fires. And
yes.
Yeah. Missing kids. Man, it's such a great mystery, too. I don't want to reveal the mystery part of it because that's pretty much the big reveal of the whole game. So that's too big of a spoiler to reveal other than the relationship stuff. But, man, it was so well crafted. And I had no idea up until the very end what the hell was going on. And, you know, it even does this great kind of mind fuck of making you think that, oh, maybe I am crazy. Maybe the character of Henry is insane, you know, the whole time. So there's some great, it's just very well written and very well put together. So huge fan of it. Very, very good.
Thank you. You know, we recorded for 2 years. And Sean approached me 3 years ago and was like, listen, I really loved working with you on The Walking Dead. I'm writing a game with a new company. Female protagonist, are you in? And I was like, yep.
That's awesome.
So, you know, it's really been a labor of love, obviously, for Sean and Campo Santo and all of the incredible work that they put into it. But for me, I've never been a lead character. I've certainly never yapped this much in a game. And it was really nerve-wracking, you know, the night before reviews came out. Because I was like, what if people hate her? What if people are like, oh, Jesus Christ, shut the fuck up. Like, you know, it's really nerve-wracking. Mm-hmm. And it's been really so outstanding to see people responding to Delilah and to Henry and to the entire game the way that they have. Yeah. And, you know, I know that the ending is polarizing for a lot of people. I'm not going to spoil it. But I think the fact that it got people talking is impressive.
Wow. Well, I do have a couple questions, not necessarily regarding the ending, just regarding the character. And I totally agree. I think, you know, it's been very well reviewed and very well received. And I'm happy for all the Campo Santo guys. I think that just, you know, that must feel so great to have a game come out and just everyone loves it. So it's super cool. Now, did you get a big background synopsis on the character of Delilah before you started playing her? Like, do you know more about her than what is actually in the game?
Kind of. I mean, I got a big dump on her. That sounds terrible. data dump, guys. Data dump.
Oh, that's data. A completely different game that we're talking about here.
Don't lead Ash in the wrong direction here.
Hopefully not DLC.
Speaking of adult themes. no, I got
a Delilah dump. It's great. Oh, sorry.
No, I got a big background sheet on her 2 years ago. And Sean is so complete when he writes his characters, which I love about working with him. But there were a lot of things, too, that I kind of filled in the blanks on. You know, you don't get to your mid-30s, which I am, spoiler alert, without having a past. And, you know, there are things in my life that definitely informed some of the pain that Delilah talks about and informed some of the wall building. And, you know, so... As an actor, your job is to bring a little bit of yourself to every role that you do. And there's definitely not the crazy Delilah amount, but there's a good amount of me in her. That said, I'm not spending my summers as a firewatch lookout in the middle of Wyoming. I'm cutting myself off from everyone. I have a family. I live in the middle of Los Angeles. But no, I mean, there's, you know, there's a good amount of me in there.
That's interesting to hear. Very interesting. The other question about the creation of this character, do you know what she looks like?
So to me, she looks like me because Sean was like, look, I know you. You're a big dork. You're goofy and sarcastic and, you know, energetic. And she's kind of you. So to me, she looks like me. But, you know, to Rich, she looks... Like, she has giant red frizzy hair and, like, wears cargo shorts and doesn't shave her legs. You know what I mean? So, I think and it's been really fun. Like, a lot of people have been tweeting me, like, this is what I think Delilah looks like. And these beautiful hand-drawn drawings, which is so cool. And
it is really cool, yeah.
It's so awesome. It's been so great to see people responding to this game.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it is a pretty classic adventure game, I think, at this point. And... we've been recommending it to everyone, and I hope everyone definitely checks it out. And you know, it's still doing really well, so I'm happy for everybody involved. It's great.
Me too.
You have another adventure game right around the horizon, but this one, of course, doesn't take place in the woods. It is far, far away from the woods. What is Adrift all about? I don't know much about it. I've seen some trailers.
Looks insane.
I've heard some stuff. It looks awesome. We're all huge space fans. So what the heck is? You play the lead in this, correct?
I do. I play the lead and I play a side character as well. and the interesting thing about Adrift is that as the lead, I go from Firewatch, where I talk for 6 hours straight, depending on your gameplay, to Adrift, where I mouth breathe for 4 hours. So, Adrift is a first-person experience, as Adam Orth, the creator, likes to call it, where basically you are an astronaut, you wake up amidst... the debris of your destroyed space station. You're the only survivor and you have to figure out what the hell happened and how do you get home. Your suit is leaking oxygen, so you have to find ways to get little oxygen canisters to not die and figure out what happened.
I love games like that.
It is so stunning. I mean, you guys have seen the trailers, you've seen the music, which was also composed by some of the Weezer guys.
No way.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But it is gorgeous.
Oh, can't wait.
Gorgeous. Like, people are saying, I've been talking with people that have done like early playthroughs, and they said, you know, there were moments where I had to remind myself that if I didn't move, I was going to die because I was too busy looking at all of this amazing scenery around me.
So what's the main gameplay mechanic? You're actually floating through various like space stations and outside in space, but it's more mainly about exploration, correct?
Yeah. So you're floating through a destroyed space station and avoiding debris, and you have to find little oxygen canisters to plug into your suit since you have a leak. And the other astronauts who have died have left behind little video logs, I guess. And so you can find them to kind of solve the mystery and then help yourself get home.
Sold.
That's awesome. Yeah. It looks gorgeous.
It's so beautiful.
Have you gotten a chance to try out the Oculus yet?
Adam had me down to the studio. See, the problem is I'm a terrible game player. Uh-huh. So I learned to play video games on the old school NES paddles, like the flat ones.
Yeah, of course.
But I learned, instead of playing with my thumbs, I learned to play with my forefinger and my middle finger.
Oh, okay.
So that I could run really, really fast with my forefinger and then jump with my middle finger, uh-huh, and not have to take my finger off the run fast button. So when the new paddles came out and I was like, it's all thumbs, fuck that. So I tried it for like 3 seconds and I died.
Yeah. I haven't tried out the Oculus myself yet either. I'm really excited to check it out.
I tried an early prototype for 5 minutes and the guy was like, how you doing? And I was like, I'm going to be sick. I need to get this off. Apparently I'm more susceptible to VR sickness than I used to be when I was younger. So
yeah.
It looks intense. Like, just watching the trailer for this kind of like makes me feel a little nauseous, but I still want to play it, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I've actually read that because this one is a zero gravity and it's not like running down a hallway trying to like look left, shoot, look right, shoot, you're less apt to have the nausea.
Yes.
Than you would if it was like a first person shooter.
Yeah. I think I can get into something like this for that reason, where it's not like you can kind of take your time. You know, within reason, take your time, look around and kind of float and just sort of be a part of it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, and the other thing that I love, love, love about Adrift, and I don't know if you guys know like who Adam Orth is. Do you know his story?
I don't know.
So Adam used to be at Microsoft and he was working, I think, in their Xbox division. And he was on Twitter and talking about how, you know, the new Xbox was going to be always online. And people were like, what? That's bullshit, blah, blah, blah. And he tweeted, hashtag deal with it. And it was
I remember that.
So he survived Gamergate before it was Gamergate. he was getting death threats and people were threatening his child. And I mean, it was fucking awful. He lost his job. He like had to reinvent himself completely. So this game is an allegory for that. This game is, look, the threat is real, but the enemy has no face. How do you survive? You can't shoot your way out of it. You can't kill your way out of it. How do you survive?
That's really fascinating.
Wow. That is really fascinating.
Yeah, absolutely. It gives me goosebumps.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's funny that you brought that up because I was just thinking about that the other day. And the sad thing about that it was also kind of ironic, is that he was right all along.
But he was totally right. Yes.
Yeah, he was completely right. And we even talked about it on the show when that happened. And we were like, you know, obviously, there's going to have to be online connectivity for these new systems. Like, we're not living.
The games that come along with them.
All of them that have come out, all of the games that have come out have some element of online connectivity required for this and that. It's just how games are patched now. It's stupid to think that, you know, I don't know. We could get in a whole big debate about it, but we're completely on his side. Absolutely.
Well, and he's just the raddest guy. Like, he's so nice, and he's been so laser focused on this game, and it's really his baby. I mean, he's so excited about it, and he's put so much love into it, which you really, really see. It's impressive.
Wow. Did you do any mocap or anything for this part?
Not for this one, no. I've done mocap for other projects, but not for this one.
Secret things you can't discuss.
Yes, exactly.
Well, you'll have to come back and tell us about what those are later.
I can't wait.
Awesome.
There's one that's supposed to come out this year, and then I actually have a very large callback on Monday for another one that would be so rad. So keep your fingers crossed.
We will definitely keep all of the limbs crossed for you. Are you ready for some lightning round questions?
Bring it.
All right. So these are silly questions that we would love to ask our guests, and these are kind of the fun ones. Okay. And you can take your time with them if you want, or you can answer them quickly. It's completely up to you.
All right.
Are you ready?
Bring it.
All right. So first one is, what is the first movie you remember seeing in the movie theater?
Ghostbusters.
Wow.
Oh, that is a nice. Good one.
That which gave me nightmares for like a year.
Did it really? I remember well, I saw really Ghostbusters when I was a kid with my dad, and I loved it. I think, yeah, it was really, really good when I was a little kid. It was great.
Yeah. Well, I also suffer from an overactive imagination. So, like, Jurassic Park gave me nightmares for, like, a year.
Oh, yeah?
And I'm an actor. Who knew?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Ghostbusters anyway. Is a great answer. All right, this is a challenging one. If you could voice a character in any game or game franchise, which would it be?
Does it have to be a game?
No, you can do TV, too, if you want, or a film.
I want to be a Simpson. Yeah. I really want to be a Simpson.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't, man?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the greatest. That would be the absolute best. That's a very good answer.
But video game, fuck it, Batman.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Yeah. That would be great.
Yeah. I think it's about time for a female Batman.
I think so. I think so, too. Why not?
Now, would you still do, raspy voice Batman, yeah, or would it be like a different...
I'd be like this the whole time. Hey, guys, what's going on? I'm just waiting.
Oh, that was brilliant. All right. here's a deep philosophical question. Would you get along with a 15-year-old version of yourself?
Oh, God. I was so self-righteous. Probably not.
No.
I'd be like, shut up, kid. I know you think you know everything, sweetheart. That's really cute.
What's interesting about that is that even the people that have said, yes, I would get along with those people, also add the same thing to the answer that you just added, which is like, shut up, you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So it works both ways in any event.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to stick with that answer. Yeah,
whenever I think about myself at 15, I was like, oh, my God. Like, how did I even – like, I would honestly – I've said this before on the show, but I would probably punch myself in the face.
Oh, more than once.
Yeah, I'd be like, what are you doing? Why are you so upset?
I know. What are you so angsty about, you middle class, like, suburban lifestyle? Shut up.
Right. Right. And get a haircut, kid.
Yes. Tweeze your fucking eyebrows. My God.
Yeah, look, long hair doesn't look good on you, 15-year-old Ash. I don't know what you're doing. You're not Kurt Cobain. It's not working
Ash,
for you.
Ash, did you have the butt cut? I had the butt cut.
Oh, I when totally I was had the butt cut. Yeah. It was parted in the middle. I don't know what was going on.
It was like that whole Saved by the Bell thing, you know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I don't know what was going on.
Did you have frosted tips?
Oh, yeah. I totally did. Absolutely.
I didn't
I've known Matt since 15, so he can vouch for me, too.
Oh, the 90s were a terrible time, guys.
Did you wear hammer pants, though? Really?
Oh, no, I wasn't that bad. I did have, I had one hypercolor shirt.
Yep.
Ooh, I had a hypercolor shirt.
Did you really? Nice.
I remember when hypercolor shorts came out, and I was like, what? Fart, right?
Like, do you guys remember Jams?
I remember Jams.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. Jams were great. Hypercolor shorts is a terrifying thing.
Right? I don't want people to know how hot my butt is. Come on. Yeah.
It's just I had the bangs, the though. Yeah.
Like, I had the 90s bangs where you, like, got them with the hairspray.
Frosty claw.
It was so hot, you guys.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
Oh, my God.
All right. Next question is, you've been kidnapped. You can call in the characters from one television show to make a rescue attempt. Which show do you pick?
MacGyver.
Oh, you're the first person to ever answer MacGyver. That's a great answer.
I don't think anybody's done like A-Team either.
It's no one's done,
the A-Team.
Yeah.
They accidentally blow me up as they're rescuing me.
Right. And then they'd probably like sell you to other people for money. I don't trust those A-Team guys.
Whatever, man. I have to trust them.
So MacGyver or I would say Star Trek. Because they could just like hologram in and be like, what's up? We're here. We're taking it. Peace out.
Yeah, that's true. Beam you right out. Could just
get on out of there. Right? Smart answers. MacGyver could just like take a piece of gum and a toothpick and make a blow dart gun and kill everyone right on your
like,
way.
Like reel me in. Reel.
I'm so I'm just thinking about MacGyver now that you sent me down a mental hole, but they haven't remade MacGyver yet, which I'm shocked.
Oh, it's coming.
The major
MacGruber. I literally just saw a note that it's coming.
Oh boy. I wonder who's going to play MacGyver. It's probably going to be, no, he was already in A-Team. Who would make, let's segue here. Who would make a good MacGyver?
Television or movie?
Either or.
I feel like it's going to be one of those like a Chris Pine kind of thing.
You know? Yeah, I was going to say Matt Damon for a movie.
Matt Damon.
Yeah.
I think they'll go the opposite and they'll do something like, you know, oh God, I'm trying to.
I was going like Bradley Cooper or something. What kind of smirky MacGyver, you know?
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, but he was an A-team.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah.
So we'll have to think about this and perhaps come back to it.
Things to ponder for the next interview, for the next one.
Right, right.
We'll have her back, you know, and she'll be like, hey guys, again, though, I finally have the answer.
I would love to see, like, I don't know, who's a kick-ass woman? Like,
oh, that would be great.
I don't, you know, I can't think of a kick-ass woman right now. God help me. I'm so tired.
But Lady MacGyver would be awesome. I would be all on board for that.
Like, yeah. Kristen Wiig. I mean, yes. I know she's in Ghostbusters, but, like, that would be awesome. I would watch the shit out of that.
And it'd be super funny, too. She can't help but be funny. Even her dramatic stuff, you're like, her face is funny.
Her face is funny.
I just watched The Martian, and I was like, no.
You know, I haven't seen that yet. I hear it's incredible.
It's really good. It's really good.
I need to watch it. All right. Here's a food question. First of all, what did you eat for breakfast? And the second is, if you could eat only one food for the rest of your life, what would you eat?
Sushi.
Sushi?
Yes.
Yep.
Yep.
Mercury and everything. For breakfast, I had scrambled eggs with avocado and a nice little wrap. And sushi forever and ever and ever. As long as there's sake involved, too.
What's your favorite kind of sushi?
Uni.
Oh, okay.
Oh, right, nice.
Love uni. So when I graduated from college and I moved to the Bay Area in 2002, which was the worst economic crash since, like, the Great Depression. I worked as a sushi waitress for a while at a five-star sushi joint, and I became a total snob, total sushi snob. Sushi, sake, like, it's got to be the best, or I stick my nose up at it like a big snobby snob.
Wow.
Yeah, so I love uni with a really good glass of sake, cold sake.
Excellent.
The good thing about that answer is there's a lot of variety in sushi, so you could literally eat like 20,000 different things, you know, by answering sushi. So it's smart.
Yeah.
It's not like saying hamburger. You're just going to eat a fucking hamburger, you know?
Right. With all of its ground up hamburgers.
Right. All right. Would you ever take a summer off to work as a ranger in the Wyoming wilderness?
Nope.
Next question.
I'll tell you why. The thing about Yellowstone, right, is that it's a super volcano. That's it's not a... It's more of a geological reserve than it is anything else. So being there, that whole area can just explode at any time and throw ash, like, all, not you, but throw ash all across the United States.
Here I go.
Super volcano. That's it. That's
have
all
you
I ever
been
say.
To Yellowstone?
I have. It's beautiful.
It's stunning. And the game itself actually takes place in the Shoshone, which is close to Yellowstone. But it's gorgeous and it's pretty. And I love hiking and backpacking and camping and all that shit. But no, I would not spend a summer there. I'd go crazy.
Hold on. Yeah. I've known Scott for 20 years. When did you go to Yellowstone?
There was a we took a road trip when I was real young. We did a road trip around the United States and we stopped at Yellowstone.
Oh, I remember this. You did it in like middle school, right?
Or yeah. And we saw the Mount Rushmore and the arch and all this other. Yeah.
Yeah. For a minute there, I was like, wait, when did I like blank out a whole period of Scott's life where he like traveled the country?
No, that was a weird trip. Like most of my 50% of my stories come from that trip because I saw a lot. It was weird.
Yeah, I went with Scott, Matt. You don't remember that?
Hey!
I also went to a Six
Flags. Now I have FOMO. Yeah.
All right.
Let's all do it again. Let's all just get in a van. We'll pick you up on the way. Yeah.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, so we're nearing the end here. You're stranded on a desert island, and a small box washes up on shore. What is inside the box?
A satellite phone.
Practical.
You've got some practical answers.
You
man.
Are. It's just very like quick. Like I'm not going to be stuck on this damn island.
Or see, sushi.
Sushi. Yeah, sushi and a sat phone. That's brilliant. Very good. You're like, I'm getting out of here. Most people are like, they like construct some sort of crazy device. You're like, no, there's one device that already exists that will get me off the island.
Exactly. Like we're mankind. We pretty much developed it all, so it's out there somewhere.
All right. The perfect pizza is topped with blank.
Oh God! See, my husband hates this answer, but Canadian bacon and pineapple.
Oh!
Wow!
Another one of my people. Yay!
My husband's like, pineapple on a pizza. It's disgusting. And I'm like, but it's so delicious.
Yeah, I've had people call me names because that's my favorite as well. So
whenever I think you just ask this question so that you can build support for yourself. For the
We're going to start our own podcast of just pineapple pizza lovers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pineapple pizza cast. That's the.
So what'd you eat last night? Pineapple pizza. All right.
Cool. And that's it. That's all we eat.
Stay tuned for episode 2 of the Pineapple Pizza Podcast.
It might get more listeners than our show.
Oh.
Bum, 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 bum. Sick burn. Well, Sissy, thank you so much for coming on the show. You are an absolute blast. And where can people find you on social media and stuff?
Well, thank you, guys. This has been really, really fun.
Oh, good.
I am on the Twitters at Sissy Speaks, and I have a professional Facebook page, but I don't really do much with it, so Twitter's probably the best place.
Awesome.
Yeah, we feel you on the Facebook. It's hard to manage.
It is, and my private one I keep private, so
that's yeah, stuff. That's what you should do with the privates, just keep them private.
Yes,
my unless you're wearing hypercolor shorts.
Then you just put it out there for the whole world.
Yep.
All right. That's a perfect place to end the show.
Oh, come on. I'm going to take Ash's line and be like, I think Sissy Jones was really awesome and I want to hang out with her.
Are we actually recording? Is this real?
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Why not?
Yeah.
No, she was really, really a lot of fun. And this interview was a blast. And, you know, she was super. I mean, you know, it's always interesting when you talk to these folks that have very different backgrounds and they're doing this work that is just so, you know, and we talk about it briefly in the interview, but it's changing the way games are being played. And yeah, I think that's why, you know, one of the reasons why we have a lot of voice actors on the show, because, you know, in another 10 years, these guys are going to be huge, huge stars. And that's because games are, not to say they're not stars already, but I'm saying they're going to, you know, there won't be just the BAFTAs to give them awards. You know, there will be Academy Awards for this stuff.
I think Firewatch is a really, like, we brought it up, we talked a little bit about it being adult themed, and I think we maybe didn't even hit heavily enough on what that means. I think so often adult themed in video games means, you know, either sexual scenarios or heavy violence, something along those lines.
Yeah.
And this is really adult themed in like a just emotional heavy way. Like it feels weighty when you're playing it. It feels like it has depth to it that is unlike other stuff. So
right, absolutely,
for sure.
I think it's interesting. I was actually gonna say before the interview, what I was gonna bring up is I really loved hearing about her transitioning jobs. I think it's a terrifying notion to do that, especially when you're established in something. And you know, if she was at the age of 30 at that point, then like you are well established in your career. You've kind of picked a path, and it's hard to say, okay, well, I'm going to essentially throw that away and move to this new creative venture that I really think, you know, right. I'm going to be upset if I don't try. So I think that's really awesome and inspirational in a way. So
absolutely. And everyone should do it. I mean, you did it at one point. I've done it. You know, it's like it's scary.
I haven't really done it. I just moved cities.
Well, you still kind of did it. You left a really stable job for another job. You know what I mean? So it's you know, it's interesting, and I think everyone should definitely follow your dreams, guys. Yeah. That's what we're all about now. But really, you should go after, you know, what you want to do. Now she's making some really cool stuff. So
other thing that's interesting is that what's an emerged, you know, because we do talk to a lot of voice actors, and what's interesting is that they all have a different way that they sort of got into this. Mm-hmm. And different interests and different kind of like skills that offshoot from the voice acting piece, you know, and I just think that that's really fascinating that this whole community is brought together. The thing they all share in common, as she mentioned, is that they're all really awesome people too. You know, they're all, it's very like it seems like a very tight knit community. And I think that's why we enjoy talking to them so much.
Yeah,
it is for sure. They're super fun and humble. There's a theme of relying on help from friends that happens a lot. It's always like, oh, I have a good group of people that you know, has done this or supported me or whatever it might be. And I think that's the thing that we forget a lot too, that you feel like you have to do everything on your own, and it's not always the truth. So for it's pretty sure. awesome.
Indeed. Well, I hope you guys all enjoyed the interview. And of course, like she said, you can follow her on Twitter, and that's at Sissy Speaks. You can follow us on Twitter, and that's at Nerd Appropriate. You can give us all an email. It's Ash, Matt, and Scott at nerdappropriate.com. Or if you have a general question, you can send an email to nerds@nerdappropriate.com. We've got a YouTube page with a bunch of old interviews up there, and that's /nerdappropriate on YouTube. And of course, our Facebook page, which is /nerdappropriate on Facebook. We're, you know, lots of appropriate nerdiness throughout the web.
It's true.
Yes. And I think next week we might have an episode that's going to be 7 hours long where we talk about all the crap that we've been playing and doing. Because, man, I've been playing and doing a lot of games and just like we there's a lot to talk about.
There hasn't been a regular episode in a while, and there's new TV out. Daredevil just started. So we have things to talk about. Yeah.
And I'm just going to say this because I've been saying it everywhere. Go watch the movie Dope, because I'm going to talk about it a lot in the next podcast.
there's your homework, listeners. Matt wants to talk about Dope.
Talk about Dope.
Dope.
Say nope. Say nope to Dope.
Oh boy.
No, say yope. Say yup. Yup to Dope.
And I think it's time to go.
All right. See you guys later.
See ya.
Bye. Coffee's great, guys. Coffee is the nectar of the gods.